Mets Musings is presented by FanDuel. FanDuel is the leader in one-day fantasy sports for money with immediate cash payouts, no commitments, and leagues from $1. Sign up at FanDuel.com and use the promo code METSMUSINGS. And by BaseballTalkRadio.com. BaseballTalkRadio.com is the home of over 30 of the finest baseball podcasts, with podcasts covering the U.S., Canada, and even a podcast on Japanese baseball. Fantasy leagues, we got you covered. Even a groundskeeper, we got it right here. If it's baseball, we'll be talking about it at BaseballTalkRadio.com, the home of great baseball talk shows.
Now it's time for some New York Mets baseball talk. Here's Gary Mack bringing you the latest news and analysis from Mets Nation and the world of baseball on another edition of Mets Musings.
And hello and welcome to episode number 247 of Mets Musings. I'm your host, Gary Mack, and welcome back for another fine edition of this podcast. And we are closing in on Father's Day, so before we get started, let me give you some ideas. We have a store or a campaign going on T-Chip, T-Chip.com/Mets Musings. Pick up some items for that Mets Musings fan in your household. They're reasonably priced, and it will help out the show immensely, so go check that out, T-Chip.com/Mets Musings. And don't forget the books that we've been talking about here for the last few months. Kings of Queens by Eric Sherman, and Down on a Corner by Mark Rosenman and Howie Carpin. And let's see, When Shea Was Home by Brett Topol. And, of course, Amazing Again by the great Greg Prince. So any one of those books makes a great present, and your father will just enjoy it if he's a Met fan. So any of those books, check them out. Buy them all. They're all great. And it's reading time. It's summertime, sitting on a beach, sitting by the pool, just sitting out in the yard. Pick up a great book about the New York Mets and read it. Well, it's been a tough week, fans, on the weekend of the celebration of this 86 championship. Mets came out with a win on Friday night. Familia blew it in the ninth, but Granderson had a walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth, so that was pretty good. But then all hell broke loose on Saturday night when Noah Syndergaard was tossed from the game for throwing behind Chase Utley. And, you know, that ball wasn't even near home plate. I mean, it wasn't even near Utley. It didn't hit him. It was 3 feet away. You had a home plate umpire that's a minor leaguer who it replaces up here. He's a fill-in. And, by the way, he's been sent back down immediately and apparently was told that he screwed up. And he threw him out, the best pitcher on the team right now, maybe one of the best in baseball. Network TV and a big full house, and this guy goes and tosses a pitcher for this when he could have gave him a warning, and he changed the whole complexion of the game. Pitchers that came in were afraid to throw inside, and it wasn't right what he did. You don't go tossing a guy for that. There was no warnings before the game. There was nothing. And then the crew chief made matters worse by even saying that the playoffs last year, Utley sliding and breaking Tejada's leg had nothing to do with their decision. He just made a decision, and they should have talked him out of it. That's what they should have done. They should have overruled him and said, no, look, hey, new guy, you've got to have a reason better than this. You've got to give him a warning. Both teams a warning first. But he didn't. He just threw Syndergaard out of the game, and then it changed the whole complexion of the game. So Saturday was not good. It carried over into Sunday. Familia blew another lead and coughed up the run, the game in the ninth. So They blew that one Monday. A little ray of hope. Matt Harvey turned in his best start of the year. He fired seven innings, a two-hit ball, and Neil Walker snapped the scoreless tie with a solo home run in the seventh. And the Mets got a 1-0 win over the White Sox on Memorial Day. Ty Kelly singled in the bottom of the fifth off of Jose Quintana for his first major league hit. But Tuesday and Wednesday were just terrible. Four-run lead in the seventh or eighth inning. And Tuesday, I'm sorry, it was a one-run lead it got down to by the seventh to eighth inning. They tied it up, the White Sox, and went ahead. Took that game Tuesday night. Mats pitched pretty well, gave up three runs, but look, you know, he left the game. It was 4-2. It may have been when he left, and then got to 4-3. Bullpen couldn't hold it, and Mets lost. And Wednesday's game was just really the pits. One DeGrom pitched great game, 10 strikeouts, left 1-1. Tie. They had guys on base, could not get a hit. They lost it in the 13th, I think it was. So not a good week for the Mets, and the now the injuries are piling up, and they may have to make a move as they did last year. But they're still not in bad shape. They're still eight games above 500 or six games above 500, and they're right in the middle of it. So I'm not overly concerned, but they have to get some offense. And maybe they will going on the road. Maybe that'll help them clear their heads. And sometimes it does. And they'll be able to do something in Miami. In other news, David Wright told reporters after Monday's win that he has a herniated disc in his neck. He received an injection for that herniated disc. And the Mets are taking their time making a decision with Wright. Making sure, I guess, that they exhaust all options before resorting to putting him on a disabled list. But they're playing a man short. And this is a team that doesn't have that much offense to begin with. And to play with a man short, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. It's kind of crazy at this point to even consider this. But David Wright needs to go on a DL and see whether this injection's going to take. If it doesn't take, I mean, he's got to start thinking about retirement at this point in time. The guy's beat up. His body's betraying him now. It's tough, folks. It's tough with the spinal stenosis, and now add to it herniated discs in the neck. I mean, mentally, it's got to be really tough to try to go through all of this preparation he has to just to be ready to play, and now to have this neck thing on top of it. Wow, he's going to have to sit. If he makes it through this season, he'll have to sit down at the end of the season and really, really give some serious thought to hanging him up, because it's not going to get any better at this age. Bit of good news, Mets left-handed pitcher Steven Matz has been named the National League Rookie of the Month for May. In five starts in May, Mats went 4-0 with a 1.83 ERA and a 0.76 whip while striking out 31 batters in 34 and one-third innings. He held opposing batters to a 180 average during the month. Mats overall is 7-1 with 2.60 ERA with 56 strikeouts in 55 and one-third innings. So congratulations, Steven Mats, National League Rookie of the Month for the month of May. And right-handed reliever Hansel Robles, who's had a real tough week, has a sprained right ankle. But manager Terry Collins doesn't believe that it is serious. Last week, I think we reported, or was that afterwards, that the Mets acquired James Loney. He has been in action since Tuesday. Good fielding first baseman. Decent hitter, no power, though not too much of a home run hitter. So we'll see how he gets in, as he hasn't done much. I think he's got one or two hits so far, but let's get him into the groove a little bit before we make any judgments in that area. They're hurting right now. between the injuries, and we're missing our starting third baseman, first baseman, catcher. Conforto's in a slump right now. Cespedes is not getting anything good to hit. It's tough. It's tough right now. And they just have to hope that the pitching holds up and that they can find their strokes and go on a hitting rampage. And actually, they'll have to consider probably making a move somewhere along the line. That's what you normally do. And that's how you get back into the race. The Cardinals have released infielder Ruben Tejada. Would you pick him up again? I don't think so. I mean, we're okay at shortstop. It's really third base that is an issue, and he doesn't hit enough for third base. Tejada signed with the Cardinals after being released by the Mets on March 16th after passing through waivers. He suffered a strained quad late during spring training and opened the season on a disabled list. He hit just 176 in 23 games for the Cardinals this season. And former Met Marlon Byrd tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug. This is his second suspension. He will be suspended for 162 games, and he's 38 years old. Could this be the end? Maybe, but when you figure it, he'll have 110 roughly of those games knocked off this year. So next year really only will be about 50 games he'll miss, almost what Jose Reyes is missing this season. So he could, you know, at age 39, make a comeback again. I don't know what his contract situation will be. He's currently playing for the Indians. I don't know if he's on a one-year deal or what, but he could possibly come back and play again next year. But this is his second time. If he gets caught again, then he's got a lifetime suspension. So Marlon had a good year with the Mets, and we turned it into a trade. So good on the Mets. Good deal there. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with my guest from Marlins Family Live in just a minute.
Hey, baseball fans and book fans as well. This is Frank Nappy, author of the Legend of Mickey Tussler series, inviting all of you to learn more about my protagonist, Mickey Tussler, an incredible pitching prodigy who has autism. Follow Mickey's journey as he captures the hearts of fans everywhere with his blazing fastball and indomitable spirit. Please visit Amazon or www.franknappy.com for more information.
Hi, this is the world-famous Mr. Brewtown of BrewtownSports.Podomatic.com. You know, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Brewtown Sports. You can also listen to the show at Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, and iTunes.com. And we've got the new one. It's called BrewtownRadio.Webley.com. But the one that I'm most proud of being on is BaseballPodcast.net. It is the home of great baseball talk shows. Check it out, my show and all kinds of other programs all about Major League Baseball. So check it out. That's BaseballPodcast.net, the home for great baseball talk shows.
The Phillies and Mets rivalry has never been better. Hi, my name is Rich Baxter, and I host Phillies Talk Podcast. I hope you'll join me as we talk all about the Phillies all season long. That's Phillies Talk Podcast at FightinPhillies.com. And now back to Gary Mack and this great edition of Mets Musings.
Marlins family, like I said, this is the post show by fans for fans, talking Miami Marlins baseball, and we're bringing in a special guest from our NL East rival podcast, the Mets Musing Show. The host of that show, Gary Mack, is joining us. Gary, how you doing today, man?
I am doing fine, guys, and we are going to record this on Mets Musing, so your guest on my show, and I'm a guest on your show, and I'm all kinds of confused.
Hiro Suzuki with his 2,964. That's what I was about to say. We're doing a little simultaneous telecast tonight. We're on your show. You're on our show. We're going to have some fun with this. And I just was going to also warn you that we do these live game chats. Our show is kind of during the Miami Marlins game right now, so you might hear somebody rant off in a little one direction here about something that happens in the game, just to give you a heads up on that.
All right, I'll be prepared for that.
All right, so like I said, what you want to jump into first, man? Let's go talk about some Met stuff.
Well, you know, let me just ask you before we get into it that, you know, your big guy, Giancarlo Stanton, he's struggling a little bit, and yet the Marlins are hanging in there. They're playing some good ball.
Amen for that. Amen for that. Yeah, he's killing my fantasy team.
Well, that'll teach you.
that'll teach me to use him as my number one pick. The number two overall pick.
Dan, you need to tell him about what happened 2 weeks ago when I offered you that trade.
I turned you down, but I probably shouldn't have at that point in time.
No, you should have not.
Probably would have got a win in here one week or another. But you're right, Gary, like he says, that, you know, a pleasant surprise of, at least said, you know, the development of these young guys over the past 3 years. We've been watching them, the Yelich and Ozuna is, like I said, developing. It seems to have proven toll in, you know, paying our dues and sticking with it. Like I said, because like you mean, Stanton not performing, and yet the team's still making some wins.
Yeah, and I think everybody in the NL East a little surprised because, you know, all the pundits were saying that it was going to be a two-team race, the Nationals and the Mets, and the Marlins, they'll be, you know, hanging around maybe 500. The surprise team, the Phillies, that started off well, they're starting to slip now a little bit. But the Marlins are hanging in there, and it could really make it interesting the rest of the year.
Well, yeah, definitely what we thought. Andy, go ahead on your thought.
Well, me and Dan, at the beginning of the season, when the Phillies were being the Phillies, we all sat there and it just had a flashback to last year with the Braves, where the Braves were leading the division all the way into May and then just crumbled.
Right.
And it looks like that's what the Phillies are doing now. I mean, they're on a what? 7-game losing streak at this moment?
Yeah, something like that. And they're definitely finding it not easy going at this point in time. But the Marlins, as we said, is now how is the pitching holding up for the Marlins? Because that's really the big question mark. The offense is definitely there. With as you said, Yelich and Ozuna and you know Stanton's going to hit his 30 home runs or whatever, 30 plus
most
home
definitely.
Runs. And Bohr? I always forget the first
Bohr.
Baseman.
Justin Big Bad Bohr.
He's having a pretty good season.
Carrying the load for us. But get into pitching, Andy. I'm gonna let you handle. About our pitching staff so far this year.
Are we salty treatment like two pitchers already? I mean, our starting pitching, we've been having problems with our starting pitching not going the distance. But when they do go the distance, our closer is leading the league or tied for the lead with 17 saves. I mean, our pitching is like any typical pitching. It's either really, really good or what are we doing? We lost 10-0.
Right.
So it's one of those. And it helps that we have Jose Fernandez, who is 7-2. ERA just got below 3. David Self up there in top 5 for holds. AJ Ramos tied for saves. Just got Mike Dunn back, so hopefully we get things with him. And we're also been hit by the injury bug with Carter Katz, Brian Morris. It's your typical baseball season with us pitching staff.
Hey, there's a hit from the boys. There's a hit from the boys. And you got a hit from an RBI. Yes. That's his first RBI in a week and a half.
A week? You're being a little generous to say.
I said a week and a half. I gave him the extra half. I was going to kind of add in on the pitching. Like I said, with the really young guys, you know, that Adam Conley and Justin Nicolino. Adam Conley's just been a real pleasant surprise this year. A lot higher strikeout total than I thought. Like I said, it's nice having the diversity in our starting lineup with the righties and the lefties in the lineup, so we can flip flop lineups all the time. Three lefties, you know, with Chen, Nicolino, and Conley. Kohler and Jose being our only righties in the lineup. But like I said, it's nice being able to flip-flop the lineup, and it seems to be a work in progress, like Andy was saying, not going deep in games. Of course, that does struggle down onto your bullpen. Wear and tear on your bullpen, it don't matter how good a guy you got down there, right, Gary?
Yeah, that's for sure. We've experienced that over this weekend with the bullpen imploding a couple of times. But it looks like the matchups are going to be very interesting this week. We've got tomorrow night, we've got Noah Syndergaard against Tom Kohler. And
I'll give you that win.
Okay. Yeah, the Mets always seem to handle Kohler pretty good. And then Saturday night is, or Saturday afternoon, is Colon, Bartolo Colon against Justin Nicolino. And tell me a little bit about Nicolino.
Well, first I got to give you a warning. The Marlins might come up and show up that game because it is Mike Lowell All-Star Bobblehead Day.
All right.
Like I said, Nicolino's, a young left-handed pitcher. Like I said, still finding his groove. Top-notch pitcher throughout the Marlins system as he was coming up. We actually picked him up in that big Blue Jays trade, you know, where we traded away everything under the sun, and the Miami Marlins were so stupid for trading all their players that aren't playing baseball anymore, and yet we got quality guys up and down our lineup because of it. But that, you know, here and there. But like I said, Justin Nicolino, like I said, he's not a big strikeout guy. He's a guy who's going to get you to hit ground balls, hit fly balls, and just hopefully eat up innings. And still young. And like I said, he did lead the Jacksonville Suns to a championship. I said, I got all the faith in the world that he's going to be one of the consistent greats coming up for the Marlins here future.
And Sunday's going to be the matchup that I think everybody's looking forward to, and that's going to be Matt Harvey versus Jose Fernandez, and that's going to be an interesting one.
Yes. Give us your thoughts on that first, and then we'll give you some thoughts of ours on that.
All right. Well, Matt Harvey had perhaps the best start of his season the other day, Monday, so he may have found something that he was lacking early on. So, you know, but who knows, as we said before, anything can happen. And actually, you know, it's a good time for the Marlins to be playing the Mets because they're not hitting right now. They're just not hitting. They've got key guys injured, and I'm not using that as an excuse, but the first base, third base is out, catcher's out. So it's a good time. Plus, they're playing shorthanded as of this moment. They still haven't DL'd David Wright, and God knows if he's going to be able to play this weekend. So they'll either have to DL him to get an extra body up here. But I think that matchup in particular, because that's the marquee matchup, you know, two young guys.
And you said that Matt Harvey coming off his best start. Jose's coming off of three supreme starts in a row. I believe more than a dime strikeouts in each of the past three games for Jose. I said the last one being one of his best, most efficient games here in a while. Like I said, 88 pitches over his seven innings of work. So like I said, that Sunday matchup looks to be a great pitcher's duel. And by the way, I will be at Marlins Park for that game with my baby Chi-Chi for Bark of the Park night.
All right.
Mickey Ramudo, that's why Marlins are now 3-0. This week, so the Matt Harvey thing actually leads me to a very important question, Gary.
Yes.
So we talked about one of my friends on the show, huge Mets fan. I get a text message every time that Mets win going, uh-huh, what do your Marlins do? We won. So the 3-7 start for Matt Harvey, or 4-7 start right now, are you worried at all about Matt Harvey?
Well, we were. Well, I can tell you that it was all over the papers about his start, and he seems to, whatever was going wrong, he seems to have rectified it. He pitched a shutout the other day and won 1-0 against the White Sox on Monday, and he looked almost there. Still didn't look as dominating, but dominated enough to get the win and to get the seven shutout innings. But yeah, there's some concern. It was a big step in the right direction, but there was a lot of concern because the velocity was down a little bit, and he just couldn't. It wasn't Matt Harvey of old, and the question
was, it wasn't
the
dark night.
Yeah, it wasn't at all. And was it the nightlife? Was it is he healthy? All of these questions were all over the papers, and nobody really knew. And they kept saying it was mechanics and things like that. And when they showed, they would show some side-by-side video of him, and you could see that his mechanics were all off. When he was pitching well, his hands were in a different spot. His leg kick was different. I mean, it was like watching two completely different pitchers. And maybe perhaps now they've got him working more. They tried some radical stuff. They actually had him pitch almost like a simulated game on his throwing day. So he'd have batters there. Because one other thing they kept saying was he's got good stuff in the bullpen. And that's nothing unusual, and it comes out and doesn't have anything. But for him, it was a different feeling. And he had said one point he's not even comfortable throwing a baseball anymore. So, he seems to have taken a step in the right direction last week. And we'll see if he can build on top of that. And, you know, when I talk about building on top of it, doesn't mean he's got to pitch another shutout and get a win. But he was imploding. I mean, the fourth, fifth inning, especially the fifth on, he was terrible. I mean, he was giving up four or five runs in one inning there and taking us out of the game. So
this leads me to my next question. Do you think he's still coming off the World Series high? Mike Walker on the Cardinals is a perfect example of this,
mm-hmm.
where you are put on such a pedestal that if you don't live up to that, it affects your game. Do you think Harvey is being affected by that?
That's a possibility. People have said because he threw more innings than
anybody. My question was kind of going to roll into is, you think maybe because of the overworkload that he experienced last year when they were trying to shorten it up to begin with?
That's a possibility as well. But, there's very little. It's very tight-lipped. There's very little coming out of it. And he did get the velocity, got back up to 98 the other day. He was throwing some, so... And it hasn't seemed to bother Syndergaard. Now, DeGrom has even struggled a little bit, but DeGrom's a different type of pitcher, so he can gut it out more. You know, he's more of a savvy pitcher than Harvey. Harvey relies a lot on the hard stuff, but a lot of the problem, his location was not there. And part of it was also his release points were off. So I'd have to say that I think that a lot of it was mechanical, but that has come up about the World Series hangover, and then he had a mysterious bladder infection right at the end of spring training, and really was not the same. And then you wonder, well, maybe he was on some kind of medication for that, and that was affecting his stamina, and one thing leads to the other, and who knows what was going on. But
thing we experienced with Jose Fernandez to start this year, and I said he wasn't Jose that we expected. High walks, couldn't control the pitches. It's hard. Like I said, he's a hard thrower just like Harvey is.
Right.
Maybe it just took some extra time for these guys just to get the kinks worked out. And hopefully, like you said, now is the time. Harvey's got his stuff worked out. Jose's got his stuff worked out. And it's going to make for a spectacular pitcher's duel come Sunday.
Yeah, and, as baseball fans, that's what you want to see. I mean, naturally, we want to see our team win. But, boy, if you can have one of them great classic pitcher's duels, there's nothing better than that.
Now, speaking about pitcher's duel, I know me and Dan were talking off the air about this. I know Dan has a really heart-in-the-throat question to ask you.
Okay.
What is that, Andy?
A.J. Ramos.
A.J. Ramos, the closers, Your closer, does he make you as nervous as he as ours makes up me?
Well, lately he has. He certainly has.
He has.
Yeah, he blew a game the other night and actually blew two of them, but came back and had a good appearance and actually got a save on Harvey's win, and then had a good clean inning last night in a loss. So, yeah, I mean,
I think the only people that's never been nervous with their closer was Mariano Rivera.
And look, he lost too. So, you know, he blew the World Series in 2001.
He had blown like something like eight saves in his career. I'm going to stop because my wife's right there. She heard that. She's a huge Yankee fan. So he's falling at that. Come on. Sorry. Go ahead.
But I think it's the nature of the job that they make you nervous, isn't it?
No doubt. Like he says, last night.
So Dan was right. It's just everybody.
It's just everybody.
Yeah.
I said last night, he comes out and he walks the first batter of the inning, and you're just like, in the bottom of your stomach, you're like, oh, no.
No, the night before where he walked.
The base is loaded. Yeah, that's even worse. But
and still pulled off the save with a 3-1 victory.
High. That's high. That's really high. Oh, what a catch, Ichi.
One-handed.
Against the wall. Take a shot, Andy.
I'm not taking a shot right now. That is not officially on the list of drinking games.
That is not officially on the drinking game list. No, huh?
So speaking of the drinking game,
I think Dan's updating the MarlinFamilyLive.com webpage tonight.
So, Gary, I got to ask you a question. Because over here we have a drinking game anytime we watch a Marlins cast and we do a podcast.
Uh-huh.
What would be the next musing drinking game? What would that consist of?
Oh, geez, I don't have a partner, so it wouldn't be much fun. I mean, I'd be on the floor just drooling, I guess. So
foul.
I do this sober. So I don't know.
Yeah, because we have things like finish your beer. Derek Dietrich gets hit by a pitch, which he does a lot.
Which he does a lot.
Take a shot for every Ichiro hit. Take a shot for every Yelich 3-2 count. What would if you were to create a drinking game for the Mets, what would yours be?
It
would be like one of two things.
Let's see. Every time Syndergaard brushes somebody back, maybe? There's one.
It does happen a lot.
every time he pushes the golden locks back into the hair.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Then I'd never get out of here.
By the end of the game.
Yeah.
Every time Stephens gets an outfield assist.
There you go. If I did it every time they get it hit, I'd never be drinking at all. So lately, at least, I certainly would be sober. Never thought of it.
It's just, you know, some of those little fun things we do when we do our podcast during the actual Marlins game, so.
That's great.
So what else is going on up there in Mets land? I know you guys are up there knocking on the national door. We're knocking on your door. So what else is going on up there on Mets land that we need to worry about coming into Marlins Park this weekend?
Well, as I said, there's not a lot right now because they're just not hitting and guys are in bad slumps. We're hoping that getting out of town, getting their head clear. You know, sometimes when you go on the road, it's the best thing that can happen. You can get your groove back. You have more time at the park. You're not as you don't have all those personal things going on around you. And we've got a couple of guys in bad slumps. Michael Conforto, our number three hitter, is in a big slump for the first time in his young career. So he's hurting. We just picked up James Loney, so he'll be at first base. But he's played a couple of games for us, hasn't really done much. so far. But Neil Walker is the guy you're going to have to watch. He's been hot. He's having a terrific year so far, playing a really good second base. So he's a guy that you can watch.
He's the guy you picked up from the Pirates. Am I correct on that?
Yes, we got him for Jonathan Neese, traded Jonathan Neese, and got Neil Walker, and he's off to a great start. Astrubal Cabrera has been playing very well, both in the field and doing some hitting. Cespedes, as you say, but they've been able to pitch around him because Duda is out. Duda is hurt, so you won't be seeing Lucas Duda. He's on the DL. David Wright's a question mark because we don't know what situation he's in. He could either be on the DL by tomorrow or they could linger more and play with 24 men, which plays into your guys' hands because we'll be playing with a shorter man.
We know that feeling. We've been doing that all past 2 weeks with Christian Yelich and Stanton not playing.
Well, there you go. This day-to-day stuff can get you nuts sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But Travis d'Arnaud is out hurt, so you won't see him either. So it's somewhat of a different look than the first series of the season that we played. But, hopefully I'm hoping that they can get it together a little. If we get Conforto going and Granderson hitting a little bit more or just getting on base, he's been struggling. His average is low as it was last year, but last year he was getting a lot more walks and getting on base and igniting the team. This year, not so much, but, hopefully now with the weather warming up, he'll start coming around a little bit and get some things going. But got to get Conforto hitting. And, Legarris has had a pretty good year when he's been in there. You'll probably see Wilmer Flores at third base most of the series, definitely on Saturday night. You should see him all three games, but they've been pulling him. But he's not really had a good year either because he started as the super infield sub guy. And it's been tough on him. He's a young guy. He's got to play, and he wasn't playing that much. And just when he had the chance, couldn't play. So you may probably see him at third most of the time if Wright goes on a DL. And Loney at first.
Yeah, like I said, we're kind of in the opposite. Our hitting seems to be coming together, all except for, Giancarlo Stanton at this moment in time. And like you said, last week we were playing shorthanded. It's really hard on your team. So I said, kind of hope they make that decision, either put them on or let them play because I said – it hurts your lineup in and out every day. Like you said, you're coming in. Marcell Ozuna should have been player of the month in the NL. Just saying. He had a .418 average in the month, and he was just killing the ball, hit streak throughout the month, on-base percentage throughout the month. Like I said, we're just getting Christian Yelich back. You're talking about a young hitter going through a slump. He experienced that the start last season, as we all remember.
Right.
The Marlins got off to that slow start. Came on at the end of last season, brought his average all the way up to .300, and seems to continue that to start this year. So our offense seems to be clicking. Losing D. Gordon to the it hurt.
Oh, come on.
He almost had his first MLB hit ever. But no, not that time.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, continue, Dan. My apologies.
But like you said, Derek Dietrich, been filling in nicely. He did get a hit in the arm last night, negative on all the X-rays. So that's good to see. He'll probably be back in the lineup, if not tomorrow night, Saturday or Sunday for sure. But, it's been good seeing, like you talked about earlier, other guys filling in, like you said, Stanton not in the lineup. The other guys coming in, Ozuna hitting the ball, Bohr hitting the ball. Like I said, D. Gordon goes down, Derek Dietrich steps up. It's been really a good thing to see. It's something that we've been talking about over the past couple of years as these young hitters develop. They're going to be consistent. They're going to be better. Danny Echevarria is coming through with the bat. He's one of our hot fish of the week. Like I said, came through last night with the game-winning RBI. Just a guy who's play stellar defense, and the bat has been steadily improving over the past couple of seasons. So it's really good to see. And, you know, Captain Prado rounds out the roster, basically. And it's a fun time to be a Marlins fan right now. I know it's a great time to be in the NL East right now. Like I said, with the Nationals up, the Mets have been up. The Marlins, like I said, that was it, Danny. Take it out.
Oh, another Ichisaki shot. Let's go to the board.
There you go. One more closer to history is Mr. Ichi. Mr. Okay. Ichi is one more closer to history with a double. So it's a double shot, Andy. It's a double Saki shot.
You take the double Saki shot. I'm just going to take the regular Saki shot.
All right, I'll take the double Saki shot. But like we're saying, you know, both teams playing well. Great pitching matchups coming into Marlins Park this weekend. Like I said, it's going to be a fun time. And, of course, you know, there's lots of New York fans down here in Miami.
Right.
It's a great back and forth goes on at Marlins Park between Mets and Marlins fans.
It should be a very good weekend. You know, I always liked that Ozuna guy. I remember when a couple years ago when we first got called up when Stanton got hurt. Mm-hmm. And he killed the Mets in that one game. I mean, he was all over the park, hit a couple of triples, I think, and was making defensive plays. And I said, boy, that's the guy that I'd love to get. But, of course, they didn't. And but he had a little trouble with you guys last year, didn't we? They were on his case a little bit.
Oh, yes. He had a big cold streak he went through. He had some personal issues he went through. They ended up sending him down for a long stretch of the season. He did come back at the end of the year. But like I said, Marcelo Ozuna's been one of those guys. I've seen him here in Jacksonville just hit some balls that, I mean, I hadn't seen anybody but Giancarlo Stanton hit. Just a kid's got potential talent. People have been screaming to trade him over the past couple seasons so he can, so we could get some pitching or whatever, or a third baseman, or he's been the guy that we're always going to trade. But Don Mattingly, Barry Bonds stepped up for him this spring, said this guy has the potential to be that star.
Mm-hmm.
And like he says, it seems like we're really watching it develop this season.
And that's fun, isn't it? Watching a young guy develop right before your eyes. That's the best thing.
Oh, yeah, and like I said, you guys got a bunch of them on the Mets. Like I said, you know, the pitching staff, you know, Thor and, you know, the Dark Knight. I mean, you guys are just up and down there. Like I said, even trading off Nice, and it still hasn't affected you guys to the least bit, it seems.
No, in fact, it was an improvement, I think. We did let
I like Nice because he helped us win games.
Oh, yeah, I like Nice. I mean, I was going to bring that up, but.
No more Nice. It was a good trade, and we did lose. We did lose Daniel Murphy. But
and he's the one who stole my player of the month from Marcelo Ozuna this month.
Well, he's had some month, but you know, who knows? Who knew he was going to do that? Continue hitting like that, and we got a good, solid second baseman. I have to tell you that, you know, we're talking about getting nervous when the relief pitcher, the closers, come in. We used to get nervous when there was a ground ball hit to second base. With Murphy, because you never knew whether he was going to make a great play or he was going to kick it out the left field, you know?
He's going to throw it in the dugout or in the benches boot it into the field. But I said, when he came over the bat, he was clutch for you guys come postseason last season.
That's true, yeah, and all credit to him for that because he had a great postseason. MVP of one of the playoff series and deserved it. But, you know, they made him the qualifying offer. He turned it down, went to Washington, and they made the trade to get Neil Walker. And I got to say, he's played a solid second base. They're turning double plays, more than they did last year, because with the addition of Cabrera at shortstop, who has been very good at shortstop. He's just, you know, just to watch a professional at work is just incredible. But those two have really played, and Neil Walk has been hitting quite well. So not as good as Murphy, we get that, but he's been solid.
You know, he's a completely different kind of hitter than what a Murphy is. He's more of that slap guy, get you into the gaps, get some doubles, get on base for you, you know, maybe a sneak power here and there, but he's definitely a guy that's going to just keep getting on base for you. It's a much different look than what you see with, like, set of Murphys. But the defensive improvement, I'm a big fan of, you got to have golden locks up in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. And these guys have certainly have done that and have really, really played well and made the middle much, much stronger.
All right. Well, like I said, we do a game. We do have a our sponsor here. We're going to give them a shout out, but we play a little game, a little fantasy challenge. Would you be up for fantasy challenging us for this upcoming series?
I'll give it a shot. What do I got to do?
All right. Well, I'd get it out of the way first. It's our No Halftime app. You can go download the No Halftime app. It's on the iTunes and Google stores, as far as I know. Like he says, it's a free app. He says, it's what the app is it's kind of like a challenge app. You pick your player, we pick our player. They go head to head. The most fantasy points wins the challenge.
Okay.
All right. So obviously Sunday we got to do Jose versus Matt Harvey. Would that be an easy one to go with?
That's fine. I'll go with that.
All right. And Andy's going to get all these set up, and he says we'll get in contact with you after the show and how to get it. I accept them and all this kind of stuff. That way we can get them all logged into the system.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. I said, what would you think about for a Friday matchup? Maybe it's something on the hitter side. Who would you be willing to throw up against the Miami Marlins guy, and then I'm gonna let Andy pick a Saturday matchup.
Okay, I'm gonna take Cespedes. Let's throw him up there.
Okay, Cespedes, and who you go against? Big G, Marcelo Zuna.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Andy. What do you think? Who should we use, Giancarlo or Marcelo, for that Friday night against Cespedes?
You know what? I think we should go even something a little more different.
Okay.
How about Cuban versus Cuban, a Danny Echevarria versus Cespedes for Friday?
That's good for me. What do you think, Gary?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. So Cespedes versus Hetch on the Friday game. Sorry, Andy, throw something out there for the Marlins to go to throw out there. Who are we going to go with?
I say we go with the person that you've been praising for I don't know how many years now. I say we pick Yelich.
We pick C.Y. Yelich, okay. Who would you want to go up against C.Y. Yelich on the Saturday matchup, Gary?
You know what? I will let Gary choose whoever he wants to put up against us.
That's what I'm saying. Who you want?
Christian Yelich.
That's a good one. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to go with, let's say, Juan Lagares. I think he'll play that game. It's a lefty pitching, so he will definitely play in and start that game. So I'm going to pick Juan Lagares for that. I think you guys are going to win that one. But
all right. Well, like I said, it's going to be a best of three.
The Jose Harvey game.
There you go. A best of three. So I said, you win the first two, it's going to be an easy game on Sunday. But I said, you know, I we're going to have some fun with this. I say we just throw up, if we lose, me and Andy will take a picture of us hanging out in some Mets outfits, some Mets uniform, Mets shirt, something like that. If we win the best out of three, you got to take some pictures and some Marlins gear.
Okay, sounds good.
Sounds good. All right, Andy, I said, get all those set up, and I said, we'll get in contact with Gary after the shows about how to accept and where to go.
And four. I got it all written down. We good.
We're good. Hey, Gary, anything else you want to get? I mean, we still got, 2, 3, 4 innings to go, Andy?
We're only in the fifth, man.
We're only in the fifth. We still got to cover another hour and a half. Hey, what else do you want to go with, Gary?
That's good for me. I got another half a show to record.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. Like I said, we'll get you back on. We'll discuss these results, and I'm sure there's going to be another Mets Marlins series. We can make some more challenges coming up, man.
All right, I'm sure there will be. And thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for having us on. Thanks for coming on. This has been fun, man.
All right. Take care. And we'll be back after this. 516-619-6341. That is the comment voicemail hotline. If you'd like to be a part of the show and drop us a line, leave us a comment or a voicemail question, anything at all, call that number, 516-619-6341, or go to MetsMusings.com and click on that widget in the middle of the screen, and that's a speak pipe, and you can leave a voicemail right through your computer through your computer's microphone. Or if you prefer to do things the old-fashioned way, send us an email at MetsMusings@gmail.com. The Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/MetsMusings, and the Twitter handle is @MetsMusings1. And if you'd like to help out the show, check out our Patreon page. Check out the campaign at patreon.com/MetsMusings. Well, that was certainly different. We never did anything like that before, but I want to thank the guys, Andy Salgado and Dan Dunn, for coming on the show this evening. And I guess they were on our show, we were on their show. Kind of a mixed bag there, but hope you enjoy it anyway. And that was kind of longer than we expected, so we're going to skip the minor league recap this week, but we'll be back with it next week. Well, that does it for this edition of the podcast. This edition is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you would like to help in keeping this podcast going, I urge you to check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/MetsMusings. So thanks for listening to this episode, and until next time, keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets!